For this is the day of Omaria. We are going to rejoice. To fear. We are going to be glad, to be glad. In this Shabbaton, we can come and find our rest in the living of your Torah, Yeshua, take far the hope of Israel. And if there is any redemption in this earth, it must come through the veil of the Lamb, given unto the world, that by Him, the power of your Torah, the strength unto the nations by Him, and only Yeshua, shall the nations of the earth be delivered. And so it is unto Israel. It is only in Yeshua. Bless all of our friends today and those that join us on this broadcast. We ask it all in the most excellent name of Yeshua. Israel cried hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, for the word of Yah shall speak to you in Yeshua's name. Shalom. Shabbat shalom. You may be seated. We certainly give Yah the highest reverence. We certainly praise Him for His excellence and all that He has done in Israel. He has made Himself known unto us in His mishpatim, His ability to judge, to correct us, and to speak unto the clean, the pure, and the perfect love. The mind that is not cluttered with carnality and fleshly opposition against Yahweh, but a mind that is ready to receive the living Emat, the truth of Almighty Yah. I will say to us, Israel, we are in one of the most climactic times upon the face of the earth. For the prognosticators will tell us in this nation, there is no revival of what we call the economic power that has dominated the world in this nation. We can see the crumbling of the nations, the governments, that they are literally shutting down the government. And there's a reason behind all of that, and the Torah is very explicit as to why these things transpire in the earth. When a nation reduced the Almighty Yah, the Creator, down to a pagan form, a symbolism, and formality, it is a nation that has the birth of a mind of that which is idolatrous, and the spirit that rules that nation, it is full of harlotry. And this is a nation of idolatrous worship. It is a nation of abominable, vile, perverse, habitual actions that resonate or flows from this nation. When a nation becomes of that characteristic, it is because they have defied the Torah of Almighty Yah. And I want to reiterate, cause our minds to revisit, as I again go back to Scripture. And I want to begin in Gilead now, because the identity of the superficial harlots that out of her loins spew this abominable, perverse, vile religious doctrine of laws. They're not based upon the principles of Yah, and she has camouflaged herself in an identity that is not out of the bosom of Yah, because it does not represent Yeshua HaMashiach. And she has serenaded herself in all of her religious pomposity, but Yah says she must come down. Her identity is explicit in Scripture. And if there is one Nobi or a prophet that was given to speak against Babel, her deceitful works, her wretched vile ways, it was the Nobi Jeremiah as he spoke. You take time and read the counsel of Jeremiah, the captivity of Israel in the Babylonian or the Babel bondage, that their minds and their thoughts were altered. And through that they passed it down to the generations of their children. And that is what we have done, Israel, because our spiritual clarity, it has been darkened. It has been darkened by Babel. She is the mother. She is the mother of all harlotry and every vile, abominable, wicked, perverse thing that is imaginable in the mind of man. She has come by the birth of this harlot that has taught us her principles, and her principles are to deny the power, the relevance, and the truth of the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. And we have followed this superficial whore with great delights, with enthusiasm. And now Yah speaks to Israel, and those that have ear to what the Ruach says, to come out of her, my people. Come out of this superficial Jezebel. Her economy is in desolation. Destruction is upon her because she has taught the subjects to defy the Torah of Yah. She has been the birth of one of the most harlotry religious practices upon the face of the earth, and it is one of self-absorption. We are people that are self-absorbed with us. The Torah teaches us to look on the welfare of others greater than yourself, to esteem the other one even greater than oneself. But that's not what a harlot does. When one's mind is filled with every abominable action, one does not operate in that sphere. That is why, Israel, we must have the birth of the mind of Yeshua. And we only allow that mind in us by preparation. Our minds, our levim, must be prepared by the instructions of the Torah of Almighty Yah. Anything else would bring death, destruction, and we will become a desolate people. And a desolate people, you can see it in their countenance. They are void of any substance. They are void of what substance? Well, the fruit of the Ruach, the joy of Yah, the shalom, the temperance, the meekness, the kindness, the ahava, they're void of it. And it is identifiable, as is identifiable, as to who this one is. And those are the birth of this Babel, vile spirit, because there is a marking in their conscience, in their forehead. You can tell in their juvenile ways, in their immature ways. There's a reason, Israel, and I'm going to preach today because I haven't preached in a while, okay? I have not sensed a thorough refreshing in my own ruach as to what I have taught. But this day I shall be refreshed. Whether anyone else will be refreshed with me, that's all right. But this day the word of Yah shall speak deliberately unto me to declare unto Israel what Yah speaks unto his elect, the house that he has called and set apart to bring kabod, honor upon the excellence of his name. For in his name we found the power of his might and the strength of his legitimacy. For he is the legitimate king of Israel. As the Melech or the Melechim began to dispense unto Yochanan the very identity of this Babel, her birth, her destruction, and how it shall come about, and the reason that the vile nature of this serpentine Isabel has spread throughout the nations of the earth. It is because there is no legitimacy of her identity. And the only identity of any people is found in the Torah of Yah. If they are not identified by the statutes, the government of Yah, it is a false people. They are goyim, they are heathens without the light of Yeshua dwelling in them. And this earth has not the light of Yeshua. There's the light of every kind of pagan, damnable, vile spirit there is. You have these false men that have been birthed, and they have their religious color, or their colors that depict their piety, but they're deceivers out of hell. And that spirit came through via Israel as she scattered herself by the disobedience of Yah. He was scattered to every portion of the world. And when she was scattered, she took these vile Babel practices and these serpentine ideologies that permeates today in the world. And right out of what we call the land Israel, out of the belly of Zionism, we find the strength of this whore through this false horse and this false deity that she rides on. Because they are those that shape your minds. They are the powers of the world that run the televisions, the radios, the printed mass. It comes right out of this religious whore, this false whore that has spreaded her tentacles throughout the nations of the world. And her seats of dispensing her lies lies in the bosom of this corrupt, vile nation that was established by violence, death, pillaging, slavery, and robbery. And Yah says it is time for you to pay the price. And so the warning to you, Israel, come out. Be not a part of her ways. Do not allow her to shape and prepare your attitude, which we have allowed. Our attitude must be prepared by the Torah. There must be a transforming and a renewing. And when one is truly transformed, you see that physically. In the physical sense, you can see the transformation of one. When one establishes a discipline in their mind, a constitution, whether it is to become more clearer on certain things or objectives in life, or whether one set their mind to lose weight, you will see it in the physical presence. You will see even their facial features will change. You will see even the things that were grotesque, out of proportion. You will begin to see them shaping into the image that Yah intended for them to be. And so it is with Israel. When our minds are prepared by the Torah, we will see, we will allow the very mind of Yeshua to permeate in us. The reason we don't have that, because we allow the spirit of harlotry to shape our minds. The spirit of the seductive nature of Babel, her covetous greed, her alluring power, because in her, in Babel, is one pleasure. Her pleasure of sinful practices. We know what sin is. It is the transgressing of the Torah of Yah. Moshe, he chose rather to suffer with Israel than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for one season. He chose rather to endure the very affliction with Israel than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for one season. I will never forget 28 years ago when the man of Yah, even in his ignorance, when he spoke that unto me, that sin has a pleasure, and people chose rather to enjoy the pleasure of sin. what is sin? The denying of his Torah to satisfy the most corrupt thing and the most vile thing in man, which is full of deception. For the love of man is deceitful above all things. And it is a desperately wicked concoction of every kind of vile, filthy thing that is imaginable, stirs it and causes it to come alive. But the Torah of Yah doesn't even call Yisrael to come alive. But the Torah of Yah will not cause Yisrael to make a joyful noise unto Yah. For the Melach speaks unto Yahachan. Gilead, Revelation 17, I will begin here, and I will go to where I intend to go. The word of Yah says, and there came one of the seven Melechim, which had the seven vials, the indignations that shall be poured about upon the nations. Gilead 17:1. It says specifically, Yahachan says, and he talked to me. They were not the Melech words, but they were the words off of the altar of Yah, from the bosom of Yah. And he talked to me, and he declared unto me, my ears were attentive unto him. There is no doubt as to what he said. And he said unto me, I want you to come up higher. We need to come up out of the element of our flesh. And our daydreaming minds break it. We need to come up out of the element of our flesh. And come up higher. Be lifted up in the rock of Yah. So he says unto him, in a literal sense, you need to come up higher. You need to get above Bethel. You need to get above what Yah is about to do, because it is going to take a spiritual understanding. It's going to take a mind that is spiritual, because that mind understands the Mishpatim of Yah. So the first order of business, we must come up. We must come up. He said, come up, hear that. He said, I will deliver unto you, I will explain to you, I will shema, I will open up your understanding unto the mishpatim, or the judgments of this great. Not only did he call her a whore, but he used the same explicit superlative that destroys Yah, that she is a gadol. She is immense. She is powerful. Her ability, they are innumerable. You cannot enumerate her power, because her tentacle spreads throughout the forces of the world. Her power is exemplified in every nation under the sun. Let me tell you, the power of Bethel, the power of harlotry, in every kind of abominable activity, it is exemplified in every nation, and there's a reason behind it, and they all practice the same forms of mishra, of government. Again, I say that Elder Wyman, he spoke to us concerning the UCC. We are forgetful people. There's a universal code that every nation must follow the auspice of it. You cannot buy or sell. You understand the nations are already marked with the power of the beast's governments. You cannot even buy, you cannot even transact business in the market of commerce unless you have the rights and the power of privilege of the UCC, as he so eloquently taught us. But because we're thinking about our bellies, because we love to daydream, because we don't comprehend very well, we don't receive very well, so we forget very easily. And that's the reason why, Yisrael, I speak to all of our shame. It's sad, it's pathetic, and it is pitiful. We that are the head and not the tail, but yet we act like the hole where the dung comes out of. It's sad. Yah did not establish us to be that. He established us to be the people that nations would look not only the nations of the world, but the nations around us, and say, who is like that people? He said, you must come higher to understand the judgments of Babel. And what shall befall her? It will take a spiritual inclination to understand. You understand that we are people that think that tomorrow is going to just go on like it was today or yesterday. That's how we think. Yah is not incorporated in our thoughts. So Yah had to move this man to a place where his mind was on Yah, Yahshua, in the morning. When he went to sleep, everything, his thoughts, that his mind could become pure. His thoughts and the processing of the thoughts would be pure. And he will write them as Yah showed it unto him. He will not add one thing. He will not delete one thing. But it will be precise for who? For the time that we are in. For we shall see the hand of Yah upon Babel. She is one that sits. She is the one that sits upon the Mayim, the waters. This is a nation, her throne, and the power of her rule. It dominates every nation, whether it is in the far reach islands of the sea, whether it is a nation that is steeped in abject poverty. She is the nation that sits upon the many waters. The metaphoricism of the nations and people throughout the world. So it is the power of her demology that is obscured through her democratic process and her capitalist greed that presses the people down under the yoke of violence. She's the one that sits upon not some, but many waters. Even in the natural sense, she is the nation, this nation, that has 25% of the pure drinking water of the world. The nations, you understand that they can't even get to the natural waters of the earth. And she is the nation not only that sits on the many waters, she has taken this religious halotry spirit to every nation, to every nation, to every nation. She has poured this polluted cup in the bellies of the nation. She has poured this vile, filthy, religious dogma into the nations of the world. She has sent forth her missionaries upon the seas of the waters. They have gone on to every nation. You brought every people under the bondage of the captivity of Babel. They've given those that are in the most abject poverty, their minds are so covetous when they were content food and raiment. Now their minds go beyond that. So she is a nation in the natural sense, in the spiritual, for her government dictates to the governments of the world. And the waters represents the people of the world. She is a nation. Her headquarters, her strength, is one that acts upon the waters. She is the most predominant military power when it comes to the naval assaults. She is the one that has transported through diaspora's people and the bondage of slavery from one nation to the other, from coast to coast. This nation, she is the one that transports her vile, her insidious wickedness across the waters, because even in the natural senses, you'll be amazed what's under the oceans of the water. And the cables that are 10, 20 feet around that spans from this nation all the way to the nations of the world. They span the globe. And so through that, this fire, depiction of what is pleasurable and sensual, it is carried to the nations of the world. This whore, she's the mother that produced harlotry to the nations, that reduced your sons and daughters to not even human beings. They have twisted your sons and your daughters' minds so they don't even think. And most of them, one in every five, is dysfunctional. Hallelujah.
Let me share something with you. I'm going to finish a bit today. Well, I'm not going to finish it all, but there's much I will finish. I want to share this with you. The spirit of this harlot. This article reads, this is from MSNBC.com. It says, 1 in 5 young Americans has personality disorder. Almost 1 in 5 young American adults has a personality disorder that interferes with everyday life. And even more abuse, alcohol or drugs. Researchers reported Monday in the most extensive study of its kind. The disorders include problems such as obsessive or compulsive tendencies and antisocial behaviors that can sometimes lead to violence. The study also found that fewer than 25% of college-age Americans with mental problems get treatment. One expert said, personally, disorder may be overdiagnosed. But others said the results were not surprising since previous, less rigorous evidence have suggested mental problems are common upon colleges and the campuses throughout this nation. Experts praise the study's scope. Face-to-face interviews about numerous disorders with more than 5,000 young people aged 19 through 25, unquote. I will say this, that we have always had what we call mean studies. And this is tremendously disproportionate, the numbers, as to what it takes to get an understanding of the statistics or something that is legitimately that one can establish. So they went beyond the 1,050 plus. And the evidence were garnered from many that they interviewed to show the disorder and the mental disorder of a people. When there is no Mishrah, the Torah of Yah, we have a mental deficiency in this nation. I see it in mothers, and it is transmuted unto daughters. I see it in fathers, immaturity, and it is transcended into sons. They cannot even articulate, cannot even think. And so the studies have evidence. They're proven, unquote. And said it spotlights a problem college administrators need to address, unquote. So 25% of those in what we call the most prominent universities of America, listen, Israel, something is wrong when a woman can binge drink all night and puke like a feverish dog. And every kind of man take advantage of her. Something is wrong. When nearly 90% of the college population, they are not just people that have a drink, they are binge drinkers. I've seen women, these sluttish whores out of hell, when they have their spring break, you will see pictures that they will punch holes in beer cans and turn up whiskey bottles like men and become drunken with the wine of harlotry. They do every kind of vile thing there is. We have not even hit the iceberg of the problem. There's a reason why. Because Bevel, she is the mother of harlot. She's the mother of all harlotry and every kind of abominable thing there is. Quote, study co-author Dr. Mark Olfson of Columbia University and New York State psychological institution call the widespread lack of treatment particularly worrisome. He said it should be alerted not only students and parents, again, quote, it should not only alert students and parents, but also the deans and the people who run college mental health services about the next need to extend access to treatment. Counting substance abuse, the study found that nearly half of young people surveyed have some sort of psychiatrist or psychological disorder condition, including students and non-students. Personality disorder, the second most common problem behind drug or alcohol abuse as a singular category. The disorder include obsessive antisocial paranoia behavior that are not mere quirkish, but actually interfere with ordinary function. They cannot even function properly. So what has been the power of this form of every kind of iniquitous work that has transmuted itself to every nation? She has carried her tentacles. And I say again, it is the media of Babel, her televisions, her markets that she markets the young ones. She markets your children to become covetous and greedy. They market the ages of 6 to 12 to buy certain things. And we are so full of her pleasurable, deceitful lies. We're so entrenched in her, we cannot even see that. They do markets on your children. They send certain things and they develop things to cause this origin or this desire in your children. And it is transmuted to you parents because you have not the mind of yours you are. They tell you what they are doing. We're so ignorant we will not acknowledge what they are doing. They train your children mind and you wonder why they're disordered or their minds are so full of dysfunctionality. They're dysfunctional. You understand why they say that they curse Yah and they bless the powers of hell? You understand why they resist the truth of Yah and you stand for those dogs birthed out of the belly of darkness? Come on, Israel. And they reject the Torah of Yah. They despise the Torah of Yah because even in the natural sense they are dysfunctional. And if they are dysfunctional naturally, there is no spiritual law to contain them. We do as the elders of old. They gave them over unto the elders, brought them to the gate of the city. We simply give them over unto hell for their destruction. Let me say this. There's a wickedness in this nation. And I said among the people of Yah, they will defend their most polluted son and daughters and their depravity and their wickedness. And I go back as a young man, even in the natural sense. Our forefathers, even though they may not have knowledge of the Torah, there were things that transpired among us. They will not let their children, their other offsprings, touch that one that was vile and full of corruption. And it brought about a shame upon them. The mothers didn't even talk to the dogs. They would cast them out. And that is what the Torah teaches. Put them out. Put them out from among Israel. And I find the wickedness among Yah's people. They strengthen the hands of the wicked, but they will not strengthen the hands of Israel. I strengthen the hands of Israel, regardless as to who stands with me. I will strengthen Israel. I will barak the daughters of Tizayan, and I will do it with a great honor and a great regard for them, for their chastity and their purity. To hell with the sluttish dogs of hell. Give them over to hell for destruction of their flesh. At peradventure, they may cry out like the prodigals. I'm not going to die today, all right?
But I will die. My flesh will be consumed. For this word shall cut. He says, this Jezebel, she sits upon the many waters. So that's why our sons and daughters are being brought up under this false delusion. And their minds are twisted, polluted. That's why your daughters are Tizayat. And their mothers that bring you up in the Torah, your sons. The Torah of Yah. He begins with the discipline of the offsprings. As Solomon says, you don't spare them in their little sadistic ways because evil, wickedness is bound in their little hearts. The rod. Is the heart of Israel deceitful above all things? Is it desperately wicked? How is Yah going to correct us? Is he going to use his rod and his staff? Todah Yah. So what he commands us is no different. But today, this birth of this foolishness of mothers today, because television has taught them how to be mothers in this false perception. They read their Dr. Seuss and these false effeminate men. They read their books to understand motherhood. And it doesn't come that way. It comes by mothers. An effeminate man doesn't know what it is to be a mother. A whorish woman doesn't know what it is to be a mother. It comes by mothers. They have birthed the babies and their teats have filled their mouths, their titty nipples. And that Ahava has flowed from their breasts, the warmth of caring. And you will see the fruit of what mothers have done in the offsprings. Because she has a Torah that she binds around the necks of her sons and her daughters. And they understand the tenderness and the warmth of Yah. A harlot, she teaches them the humbleness. And so a harlot has no emotion, no feelings. They don't. It's only that Yah can see through the chronicles of time that he elects one that he says, this one is mine. And he puts the mind of Yahshua in that one. She sits upon the many waters, and this is a picture that shows her dictating to people and the ruling power she has. And how she oppresses. I will get into that, Israel. And how she suppresses, oppresses, and violently abuses the people. He says, I want you to understand all the melechem, the kings, not some, with whom the kings of the earth, they have committed this aggressive, vile, habitual act with her. She has no husband, man. She has no ruling power. You understand that when a woman has a power, and the power of that woman is her head. So we can see the identity of Bethel. She commits fornication. So she has no husband, man. Commits fornication. She is not a spouse unto any deity. Do you all hear me, Israel? When it is sure. She has a husband, a woman that is birthed under the auspice of Yah, because Yaakov is the man. There is where the blessings of Yah flows. And when the woman submits unto the head of the instructions of Yah, then she births the beauty of the Torah power of Almighty Yah. As she speaks unto her sons and her daughters, the laws of the Torahs of life. And they will not forget. And the man is the one, the brother, the man of the house. He is the one that enforces the law of Sadiq of righteousness. Today we have the woman dictating to the man. And because of that you form the dysfunctionality in children. When she speaks in her vile, habitual, wicked ways. Is not this what this woman does? We as the assembly, we speak back. He is our husband, man. We are the woman. We are the one that is betrothed unto him. And he's coming for a pure one. Not one that is filthy and vile. The one that is pure. Hallelujah. So the kings of the earth, because she has no legitimate heads. Isn't that the spirit of this nation? You do what you want to do. Nobody tells you nothing.
Come on, Israel. Is not that the attitude of this nation? No one wants anyone to instruct. Children will not listen to their parents. Wives disavow and disobey husbands. And the husband disobey Yah because Yahshua is not his head. So that is the strength and the Achilles heel of this nation. Everyone is right. And we all wrong on our way to hell. Our minds are twisted. Our minds cannot discern truth. Because it has no life of the power of Torah in us. The Torah of Yah keep us in the derech. The path that leads unto the bosom of Yah. And our minds are not led to the pathway of Yah. Our minds are led to a covetous greed. Our minds are led by unsatisfactory or being unsatisfied with what Yah does. Having food and raiment, we're not satisfied. Having the blessings of Yahshua, that doesn't make our left fat. So we've been trained. We got to come out, Israel. Because we do not want to be a partaker of her sins, of her wine. And that is the wrath of Yah. Don't drink of her wine. We have drank so much that we have cirrhosis of the liver. Our minds are corroded. We shake, we tremble. We got to reduce ourselves from the dependency upon this whore. We must do it, Israel. We got so much of it in her, we got to get us a fix like a junkie. We got to go buy from her. We got to go take from her. We got to have some of her. It's like a drug addict. They got to get a fix to get themselves right. We have to get a fix from her to get out, to be happy. That's not, yeah. Come on, Israel. This preacher is going to make it plain. Hallelujah. There will be no contradiction when I finish. There will be no doubting of what Yah meant. You're not going to construe this. Because he is speaking unto us. Did the Melech come unto Yahand? Was he not a Shalishim, a mighty one of Yah? Was he not called of Yah? Come on, Israel. Was he not elected by Yah to declare unto Israel, scattered abroad? So it is today. Before Yahshua ascended, he descended, he gave gifts unto men. And they must be men. They must be men. What is the man he has? The headship of Yahshua in his life. Hallelujah. So she commits fornication. And it tells us that the subjects or the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her seduction. The nations of the world are inebriated. The economies have no power. None whatsoever. We look at the government just north of us, Mr. Hattet. There in Canada, 2 months ago, he was elected overwhelmingly. This new conservative movement. Same thing we had in this vile, wicked nation. He had to resolve parliament of the day because there was no vote of confidence. A nation that is being taken by her lusty activities with this Baal Jezebel that sits upon the waters of the earth. Her doctrines destroy your children, your sons and your daughters. Her ways and her attributes are not healthy for Israel. Cast them off. Cast them down. Her logics, her thinking, her religious practices, her ways, cast them down. We have learned of Yah through her religious principles. That's why Shaul said he had to go out and empty himself of the devices of his forefathers, how they had integrated some of the ritualism of Babel into the ways of Yah. So he had to clean himself. And the light of Imat, Yahshua, had to shine down and say, Shaul, you are a fool. You cannot fight against Yah because you're not going to win. And all us together are not going to win. We can draw the swords of our mouths, but the swords of our mouths have no power. We can speak adamantly against him. We can speak with a distorted conscience against him, but it's not going to win, Israel. I speak this for our comforting.
for our assurance that this Jezebel whore, she's already on her belly. She's already. She is a serpent, as Yah said to Shatan, upon your belly, and she is a slithering, sneaky whore. That's what she is. And she has caused the world to fornicate with her because she has broken the mitzvah of Yah. She loves covetousness. I'm going to get into a little depth here, all right? Just bear with me. And many have drink of her wine, and that wine is this idolatrous form of worship. And the nations of the world, they worship the shores of this whore. We're reminded by Elder Wyman that in her ports, there in New York, Ellis Island, sits this Jezebel of liberty. And she is a Jezebel of death, the statue of liberty. She brings death to those that beckon her shores. Death in your ruach, your children, your sons and your daughters, your family. She brings death. How can you say that? Look at this nation in the physical realm, in the medical realm, which is supposed to have some of the finest physicians in the world. It is a nation on drugs. They put your babies on drugs. They drug your titty milk. You feed that to your baby. You are on drugs because there is no emunah. They tell you a lie and you believe a lie. Yah says he sent forth his word to heal Yisrael. You go to some freak of a homosexual man to feel your breast and tell you you got cancer and it takes your titty off. Come on, Yisrael. You go let some strange, perverted pig dog feel all over you. You don't even want your husband to touch you. Come on, Jezebels. That's what this wicked Jezebel has done to us. Come on, man. You feel comfortable with some female doctor touching you. You tell your wife, move your hand. Come on, don't you know you're a wicked jackass birthed out of hell? I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to deal with the dysfunctionality among Israel. Hallelujah. We have no thought of that, no conscience of that. That's all right, isn't it? It's not all right. It's wrong. This Jezebel has removed us from our bending knees to our arrogant ways. It says, he carried me away in the ruach. And he took me to a place whereby there was no comfort, but the comforting of what he speaks unto me. That's where we need to be, Israel. And that is what the wilderness represented with Israel when Yah took them out of Mizraim. We're reminded by Deacon Benny that in this Mizraim, or in Mizraim, in Egypt, it is a sensual appetite of pleasure. Immediately when Israel was taken, their eyes were turned back upon Mizraim and said we would have preferred to die by the flesh pots of Mizraim. We lack the meat. Jumaravyah, you brought us out to kill us. He brought them out to kill them, he did. Many died, did they not? But he brought them out to destroy this desire of the flesh that has been shaped by Bavel. That's what he did. And that's what the Melach, as he moved him up in the ruach, he brought him to a place whereby there was no attachment to nothing. Son, daughters, mothers, nothing. His mind was on the things of Yah. As far as him and his bayats, he said, we're going to please Yah. So his thoughts were not carried away. His mind had to be in the precise order in order for him to receive and precisely deliver that unto us. It had to be. It cannot be a matter of duplicity. Could not be a mind that was confused. It cannot be that. It had to be a mind that was a singular desire and purpose. And that was to hear what Yah says. We have so many minds speaking to us, don't we? We have the mind of our covetousness that defies the Torah. We have the mind of our gods that we build. We have the minds of our idols that we erect. We have the mind of our adulterous and fornicating ways and our thievery speaking unto us. Oh yes, we do. We have that.
And we obey the God that defies the Torah of Yah, or that presents the most solidified strength in our minds. That's who we obey. We do things with falsehood, Israel. We're not open and honest and sincere. Who wants a husband that is not honest, or wife? I want to be honest with my wife up front. I don't hide anything. What do I need to hide? If I'm hiding something, there's an ulterior motive in me. I don't care what my battle, trial, opposition is. I don't hide it. I don't hide it. That's why many men are in trouble, because they've hid it. A man have done something egregious, just tell the truth and say you did. I'll never forget. I'm going on, let me tell you. I'll never forget many years ago. That was 20 years ago, 20 plus, 23 years ago. The first man that gave the first offering when I began to preach, it was about 25 years ago. The first offering that he gave him and his wife, they gave me the first CD player to record. He gave an offering of $100. Even to this day, every now and then, I will get things from him. I will see the man. But I don't forget one day that his wife called Sister Roberts. She began to weep. He destroyed his whole home. Because she had gone to the doctor, she had this irritation in her parts of her body. And this man had given her a disease that he did not tell her, that her body was being affected, her mind, and all of that. And so she goes to the doctor, and he begins to examine her and says, you have syphilis. She said, how do you get that? What happened? She was that ignorant. She was just a country southern girl. That's where she was, a country girl. Country. She didn't know what was. I'm telling you the truth. She was just a country girl. And so he says, you don't get this from eating or sitting on a toilet. You get this from intercourse. She looks at the doctor and she says to him, I got a husband. He says, it makes no difference if you have a husband or not. This is what you have. This is the problem. And so it took her in this tremendous cycle of battles. And so the man, all he did, he denied it. Although he had gotten himself treated, he denied it. He denied it. He denied it. And after about 1 year, he finally said to her, this is what happened. You understand, Israel. He could have begun to heal the woman. If he had been upright and forthright and broken down and said, I was a dog. I was a vile, wicked thing. And I pray the mercies of Yah and your tender kindness to help me and to help restore me. But he denied it. He lied. And he began to go blind. He can hardly see today. And that is what has happened to us. We have committed this fornicating act with a whore. We have laid with another woman like we have laid with another man. When they will not receive the ahava of the Emetiah, he gives a people over unto a reprobate spirit, a mind that will not accept truth, that they will do the things that are not convenient in the body, women lying with women and men with men. And so men have laid with other men and women have laid with other women in the spiritual sense. And we have incurred diseases of every kind of vile nature that one can imagine. And it's going to take a preparation of the mind and the restoring of the mind of Yah by the Torah delight that we began to walk in the health of Almighty Yah. That's why we are sickly, we are weak, we have no power to resist the powers of hell, and we have no power to pray for nothing.
You can reject it. It is the truth. That's why he says, come up higher. You got to get above the fray of logistic or logically thinking to understand what I'm about to say to you. And not only that, he said, you got to come away from this in order to understand the depths of what I'm trying to say to you, my friend. So we got to come up out of this fleshly Babel temple that has been built. It has been built with the mortars of covetousness and lies and pride. What an ignorant individual to be prideful. Hallelujah. I remember one day there was a man that I knew he didn't drink. But I would see him scouring the dumps. and trying to find food. And me and my self-righteousness, it was not that I was trying to make myself right. That was a legitimate concern for the man. So I walked over to him and I said, "Here, sir." He looks at me, he says, "I don't want that." I said, "Go ahead, take it." He said, "I don't want it. You need it." And he walks away because of his air and his pride. And that's the way some of us are, full of your damn pride and wickedness. See, pride will not allow you to say, "I told her, yeah, I appreciate my brother and my sister." See, pride won't allow you to say that. And that's why the minds are so dysfunctional today. Hallelujah. So he was carried. He was lifted. Verse 3, he was carried away in the ruach into the place where he would be emptied and void. He said, "I saw this Jezebel." He didn't see a man now. He saw a woman. "Sit upon the scarlet colored beast, full of names, blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, I don't want to get into that right now because I'm going to teach on just that one verse. But he saw the superficial Jezebel. Her power was the power of the super seven or the nations or the kingdoms. As we see the G7s, we just watched the G20s meets with Mr. Bush. We began to see this tremendous falling of the economy. The economy of the nations, the banking institution is based upon one principle. It's based upon oppressing, suppressing, and they do it violently. Are they not violent today when they repossess the homes of a mother? This little mother that has nothing. And they go and take her home. Are they not violent when they tell us on November 533,000 jobs were lost? And that's not counting the folks that cannot find anything at all. There was a young man that came to repair my treadmill. He said to me, "My friend lost his job in May and he has still not been able to find a job." And so they paint this superficiality among us. And we look at it as though things are well because gas is going down. It is a superficial thing before the mighty crushing. And the scripture talks about how the fall shall be. Let me move. I need to get on up the road, all right? I can show you what it says in the book. It talks about that. Hallelujah. We need to develop our minds to want to spend time with Yah. It's amazing you will spend time in Walmart, Kmart, and Dollar Mart, but no time with Yah. It's amazing that the urgency of Walmart, Kmart, but the no urgency for Yah. And I don't say this boastfully. There are times I'm out, I say, I got to get home. I get peeved because there's something that my mind has latched upon and I must get to the scriptures to understand. I'm trouble. Hallelujah. I'm not troubled because an offering doesn't come in. That doesn't bother me one bit. Hallelujah. So he saw the superficial woman. Her colors are important. And I'm going to teach on in depth of her colors, the originality, the origin, and the purpose of her colors. All right. Now I know what we see. It says in verse 4, the woman, she was dressed, or she was arrayed in purple and scarlet colors. Colors. And she was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and having a golden cup in her hand. And the cup was full of abominations and filthiness of her vile wicked ways. That was what was in her cup. Now I taught on that, but I'm going to teach even an in-depth teaching on the cup. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay whether you're with me or not. It makes no difference at all. He said, and upon her foreheads, and upon her foreheads, if we read in Deuteronomy 14, we saw the elect of those that were the Israelites from every tribe of Israel. They were pure. They had overcome the powerful world system and market. And yet they had not entangled themselves with the religious woman. And any woman that defies the Torah or anything that defies the Torah of Yah, can I ask you a question? The woman was identified by rejecting Torah. Adam Shavah.
She rejected the Torah. She opened up her lev to Shaitan. She brought it to the man, this deception, and the man willingly became a partaker. That is not to belittle the daughters of Tizayan. She is a woman, you that submit yourself unto the order of Yah. And the order of Yah is not a man oppressing, suppressing, belittling, denouncing the woman. It is an order that esteems, lift up, because she is the birth of Israel, jackass men. And when a woman is a woman, she walks in the most honorable place that anyone on the earth can walk in. She submits unto the Torah of Yah, and her beauty is accentuated, and her faithfulness unto Yah, because it is expressed in her husband, not a Jezebel slut. Got in her wicked mouth. Be quiet. Say it again. Shut your mouth. Hallelujah. That's what a woman is. She brings forth the zirah of Israel. So he saw this false woman. She had on all the apparel and all these colors associated with Israel. Every last one of them. These are the colorings of Yah. Hallelujah. I want to keep my course, all right? So written in her forehead, as we saw the 144,000, there was a name written in their forehead, was it not? And it was the name of the Most High in Gileana 14:1. He saw them having the name of Yahshua's Avat, Abba, written in their forehead. Now the seal and the surety of Bavel, there's a name written in the forehead, the minds. Well, that's what the forehead represents, the mind. And everything that we do or think, it is based upon the traditions or the dictates of Bavel. It is Bavel that is shaping your mind, your lust, your greed, because it defies the mitzvah. It will not walk in the restraints or the statutes, the orders of Almighty Yahweh. It walks in its own rebellious wickedness that defies the instructions, the muzah of Almighty Yah. That's what it does. So it doesn't walk in the delights of the Torah, Israel. And so it's represented in the natural homes. What a wife, an Isha, defies her husband, her Ish. Then she defies the Torah of Yah. She speaks to him in ways that are corrupt, without regard, without honor and fear, without esteeming, without reverencing, because that's what scripture tells her, to reverence. She doesn't know how to love until she's taught by mothers to reverence your husband. He tells you, man, Yah said, I will teach you how to ahava. How can anyone else teach us that by Yah? How do I know he can teach me that? Do you know how I know that? Can I answer you all? It's in the scripture. For Yah said, mama, say it. Say it loud. For Yah so loved. For Yah so loved. Do you understand that love, daughters? We don't. For Yah so loved. For Yah so loved. That he gave his only son. We don't give up our wicked sons and daughters. That he gave the begotten of his bosom, that's love. So I know, man, that he can teach us how to have the great ahava for the wife that represents the kingdom power and the reverence of the Isha that represents the authority of Yahshua in the man, not a damn Jezebel. I despise Jezebels. I do. I have no time for them. I don't have no chit-chat, no smiling. I don't go that way. Period. I don't play. I don't do it. Whether you believe it or not. Hallelujah. I just don't go that way. There's a way that we as men, we must go. We must carry ourselves. Because we exemplify the ruler in this kingdom. Yahshua HaMashiach. That's who we represent, all right? So Yah will teach me how to love as he
directs the daughter of Zion, as the elderly ones have experience and have the wisdom of life, to teach them. I hate a silly ass, and I say it because that's what it is, a jackass. I hate a silly ass woman. I don't want to hear the laughter that's so loud. I'm not going to ask you to forgive me for my, as they would say in my days, my French. I'm not speaking French. And a silly ass woman. And a stupid man. It's all right to be ignorant, but when you're stupid, you defy the actuality of what exists. That's a stupid man. Why are the despised? They call a woman that's silly, she's laden with sin, and she opens the door for every kind of unclean thing. That's why your daughters, you have to be tempered on your laughter. Tempered on your laughter. I heard something last year about, I didn't like it. I don't like that. I don't like that. It's not of Yah. It's not to be tempered. I don't care if you all get upset with me. I tell you things because I love you. Come on. This is what Yah wants out of us. I don't care for my wife. I care who it is. I've heard my wife laugh and say, woman, don't do that here. Not here. You all are so pitiful. You think so highly of yourself, you don't do that. You're just a flat out liar. And if you catch yourself wonderful, so beautiful, that's Yah saying, come on, daughter. Your beauty is not as in that. So I'm not here to diminish the beauty of Israel, daughters. I'm here to enhance it. And to make their beauty more pristine. That when men see them, they, as the virtuous woman, the men, they look at her husband and say, my man, what a man you are. Look at that woman. She was the kingdom power of his rule and his beauty. See, look at that thing. Ooh, my. You know you got a gem on your hand, boy. Even the world does that. Man, his wife, she's not out like her. My wife, she's out. She's over there with the girls drinking and all that. Man, you got it. They say, you got a good wife, man. Your wife, man, she's always home. You think the man's chest has to rise up a little bit? Woo! That's right, baby. I ain't worrying about my woman out here like no hoe. Come on, Yisrael. And that's what Yah doesn't want us to be, a whore. He doesn't want us to be a whorish woman. So that's why Yah had to take Yahan and put him in a position that he could see this whore and see what was written in her forehead. Well, the strength of her power, she is known as mystery. She does everything secretive. Mr. Obama said other day, quote, this what we're in is going to last for a while. So do not expect a quick remedy, unquote. This nation is in a mess. We just don't feel the very pressure of it like many do. And they're under the yoke of it because you don't have to battle some of the extremities they do. Can I tell you this little story? We were in Walmart. And there are those that really know me because I've gone in there so many years. And I always go on Monday. It takes something extreme to alter my Monday schedule. I go on Monday. And there are some of those women that have been working there ever since I've been going there. And there is one that works there, and she knows us. She talks to Sister Roberts. She speaks very kind. Quite a few of them. So we came to her register on Monday. She said, I haven't seen you all in a long time. I said to her, we come every Monday. She says, well, I know, but they move me around so much in this place. But she says this, I didn't say anything, quote, she says it's best for you to shut your mouth though, because in these times, you got to be thankful just to have a job. So I don't open my mouth when they tell me to do something, I do it. You understand that even the children of the world are wiser than the people of Yah. If this woman has enough sense of fortitude, that she realizes that I keep my mouth quiet, that's the better alternative for me because I got babies at home. And I said to Sister Robert, she's probably one of the few that's probably getting 38 to maybe 45 hours a week. She may be getting 35 because she's been there ever since I've been going there.
He's worked there at that Walmart. And she says it's best to be quiet. And so we need to be quiet that we can hear Yah speak to us. Listen, Israel, not standing up in your belly's lust today, worried about how you're going to fill your belly or your mind, so removed from the truth of Yah that other elements control your thought process in the mind of Yah. You got to keep your mind steadfast on Yah. You got to lock it in to hear the words. Hallelujah. That's the only way we're going to progress in our minds. We're going to be prepared. You cannot build a building without taking upon every aspect of the building. You got to grade. You got to clear. You got to do all of that. You got to make sure. You got to invest. Can I ask you all a question? If you were in Charlotte today and say you wanted to do a parking lot for that would park about 350 cars, do you know how much that will cost you to do that? What do you think that will cost you in Charlotte? Or any Charlotte, and I say Charlotte because it is not one of the most largest cities. To do a parking lot in Charlotte that 300 cars can park, just 300, it will cost you minimum today $1,300,000. That's just for cars to park. Because it takes excavation, it takes drainage and all of that. So that's what Yah is doing. He is excavating your lives. He's plowing down that old ground that's hard, but he's cutting that furrow. He's cutting down. He's got the blade down, and that blade is his sword. It is his word. It's going to cut up that fallow, wicked ground because it's not producing. It's producing sour grapes, and the grapes are not sweet. I rather have sweet grapes. I like the ones with the seeds. Brother Dell and I got some other day. I tell you, my brother, I ate every last one of them. Gave Sarai a few. Four big packs. You eat any, brother? Better half ate all of them. All right. I ate. He had four big packs. And I had four. And I'm telling you, I ate them all. I would have a pile of sweets. I ate them all. And they were sweet and nice, supplement, plump. I ate every last one of them. Put them there on the counter because I knew I was going to destroy them. I ate them all. Hallelujah. And so this is what the word of Yah ought to be with us. Sweet, precious, hard in our love that we will not sin, transgress the Torah. So in her forehead and her mind, she has a constitution. Now that is what that was written is the constitution. She is Mystery Babel. She is the great, the mother that produces, the mother of harlots. She is the mother of harlots. Every kind of harlotry spirit, she is the mother of it. And also of abominations of the earth. And he saw this Jezebel, she was drunk with the blood of the Kidusham and with the blood of the martyrs of Yeshua HaMashiach. When I saw her, I wondered. When he saw the power that she had over the Kidusham, listen, Israel, that's what it says. And I saw this woman drunk with the blood, the dam of the Kedushim, the people of Israel, and with the blood of those that are martyrs, those that have died for the sake of the message of Yeshua, that have defended it against family, friends, and foes, that they were rejected. They were the outcasts by mama, by dad. He said, I saw them that were martyrs of Yeshua. And when I saw her, when people see America, when they see the power of this capitalist system, he says, I wondered, listen, with great dislike, he said, admiration. He said, I looked at that and say, my, my, my. When a man sees a whore, he looks at it and say, my. It looks real nice from a distance. Told her, my brother, this is such a juvenile generation.
That's why the scripture tells us, even in the book of Sirach, when we say, shapely woman, turn your head. All right? What I'm saying, you're looking at a woman that, come on. There are men that are fine men. They look fine. Strong and handsome, too. Hallelujah. Tall, bronze. See, I don't fit those categories because I'm short. 5'11", all right? Got tall brothers in here. Fine looking. You see a whore from the outside, she looks, come on. But the closer you get to her, the more vile she looks. Her face, her body, beat down, is slutty out. Come on, Israel. And so that's what the world, that's what Pavel does. She paints this picture that even the normie with the mind of Yahshua, he said, with great with God all. Admiration, he said, I wonder with my, how can this be? How is this? Well, you know how she is and why she is? Because of the people of Israel. We have rejected Yah. We have despised Him. He has scattered us throughout the nations of the world because we have no pure affinity for Him. And so He has caused us to go into this captivity in Babel. Bless Yah that He has it all under control. He is the one that is in control. And He is still going to save Israel. Who is Israel? Those that have the written Torah and the manifestation and the power of the witness of Yahshua in them. That is Israel. That is the Brit Hadassah that He has made with His people. He has called them and separated them and segregated them. We can see that through the patterns of scripture. When He called them out of Mizraim, He did not make them a part of the Mizraim or the Egyptians. He called them out. And He wanted to separate them from the habitual practices and the things that they did in Mizraim. So He has brought us out. Our minds prepared by the Torah. Our thoughts. Our guidance by the Mishra, the government of Yah, this Torah, his statutes, and we've been shaped by that. Why? That we may bring forth a delightful, pleasing thing unto Him. And the offering will be certainly one of Torah with Yada. Why? Because we have a confession of the power and of the testimony of Yah in Yeshua. And if we don't have that, then we have nothing. And we're going to struggle. We're going to continue fall, subjected unto the powers of hell. And we will never overcome. We are the head, Israel. Is not Yah the head of all things? Are we not in Yahshua? Did He not come from the head of Yah? Sure He did. Here's the word of Yah. Oh, the words don't come from here. They come from here, the heart, the mind. You understand the nefesh. And the nefesh is the life of man. And how does man have life? It was by the breath of the life of Yah, wasn't it? He breathed into him. He made him and he breathed. He breathed into him. He spoke His word into him and he became a living full being. Hallelujah. To represent the kingdom power of Almighty Yahweh. And He gave him a help meet. You understand that? That's why this whore has reduced you precious daughters down to a Jethonite spirit. He made you help meets. Help meets. Nothing more precious than a meets. That's what she has taught you. That's the horse turn or world turn. The damn Ryan lie that they call a hope. General Hospital. They were sick freaks. They were sick freaks. That's why they were in the General Hospital. And all the rest of them damn twisted things that Babel, this whore, this harlot, this mother of harlots, an abomination, filtered that in our damn minds that we expected men and women to be like these live dogs out of hell. You can't turn it loose. Them folks can't turn that damn trash you loose. I'll sneak every now and then catch up. Same thing, isn't it? Lies and sexual perversion and punkality now. Come on. I don't care what you're watching. It's all the same. Hallelujah. It removes us from the government of Yahweh. I don't care if it's basketball or football. I don't care if it's baseball or dunk ball. Whatever it is. It's all the same. I don't care if it's the movie house or what is wicked. These are the synagogues of Shaitan. I never forget. That's one of the first things that Evangel Hartsfield taught me. These are the synagogues of Shaitan. He birthed life in His people there. And that's how he do it, by his images and his false fictitious lies. And that's why we can't be real, because we have been nurtured by fictitious stories. The Joker, Batman, this freak of a thing, Mr. Ledger. I don't mock him. I don't glory, or forgive me for that expression. I don't take delight in the death of any of the wicked, because Yah doesn't. I don't take delight in the death of anyone. I don't. Yah doesn't. He takes delight in the death of his Kirushim. And they raise up this little effeminate thing. What about that broke back thing that broke back, this homosexual boy that everyone was taken by? He fell in love with another cowboy. Now that's got to be awful funky and stunky. Yeah, that's got to be awful stunky out there roping cows and not bathing for a month, and you stunking up with another man. How about this little freak thing, Harry Potter? This demonic power that rose up that the children are captivated by. Not only him, but Spider-Man and all the rest of the damn demonic powers that raises up and cause your little children to become like damn nut fruitcake heads. And I say that way to express it in a way that it become a reality to us. And we understand the importance of it. No, I don't like talking like that, but this is a stubborn-hearted generation, y'all's people. I don't like talking like that. See, this damn mess in you, and put it into your homes. This is the power of Bethel. This is how she twisted. You wonder why they're twisted and demented. There's one that left from here. And I went one night because they have a little thing called My Page. And she had on the page, I believe that I'm bipolar. Now, how can one believe that they're bipolar when one turned their mind away from Yah? You're subject to every kind of damn demonic power there is. And they will do everything that is foul and wicked. They'll do things that are unscrupulous. I'm warning you, daughters. And you sons of Israel, I'm telling you the truth. They're vile. What is bipolar? My days, they were just nutcases. He will keep our minds perfect and in shalom if we just allow the Torah to shape us. And that's the truth. I don't care how the devil talk to you, might say you're crazy. Nah, but he will keep my mind in perfect shalom. I'm going to keep it on the Torah, but this ain't how it should be. Nah, I'm going to what the Torah says. Come on, Israel. These light affliction, He has ordained us for these things. It is to prove him, and he is mighty. He is not weak. He is not weak like man. He is not weak like me, all right? He is mightier than you or me. He's not weak like me, because I'm a weak thing. That's why I have to say, I know I'm so weak that I'm strong. I'm strong in the might of his Hamashiach. That's where my strength comes from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is what the world is doing. That's why I read that article, some of that. It is taking the minds of the sons and daughters and twisting them. They don't love Yah. They're hardened toward Yah. Daddies can't do nothing and mothers can't do nothing. And so they bring them into their synagogues of death, their schools, their parochial and their religious schools, and their activities, and they corrupt their minds, whereby there is no fear of Yah. In my days, life was simple. Although we went to school, it was back home, and we tended to the simple things of life. And even though we were taught of, quote, God, Lord, Jesus, unquote, there was a discipline or of a constitution that they taught us the mitzvah or the commands of Almighty Yah. And there was something in us that would not permit us to do certain things, and we could not do them, even though we were wicked. And when we did things, we were still ashamed of them. There is no shame in this generation. When a daughter did something she knew was wrong, she was ashamed. And when the scar was upon her, she was ashamed, and she did not want to regress back to that. But the generation after us, the daughters, they didn't give a damn. The boys, they were wicked, they were vile. They had no shame at all. I said to you all, I saw that. My only natural sister, her son, he's about 36. He's about 36 years old. 37. Yeah, about that old. And I watch, that's what they imparted into this fool. I watch this mischievous devil, wicked. Because I said you all need to, and I said it like this, Yisrael. I said, you need to bust his ass. That's his problem. Oh, David, he doesn't. Okay. And he was reared to be a damnable dog. A monstrous beast.
watching till his mammy, she wasn't even a mammy, Jezebel, what she is. I tell her that to her face. I hope she's listening. I know she's not. He said, if you lay hands on me, I will have you put in jail. That cow ran away from home for 2 days. I said, you should have busted his ass when I told you. Well, will you whip him? I said, what? If he's going to put his mammy in jail, where he's going? I said, I have nothing to do with it. Let him do what he wants to. When I told you to whip his little ass when you thought he was cute, you didn't do it. I said, you think I'm going to whip him? I said, you fools, that's your affair. That's how I said it. I think that's on you. I'm gone. Hallelujah. But Torah be to Yah, that he has a staff, Yisrael, to draw us. And he sends the rod of correction to show us his greater hava that he has for Yisrael. And I'm glad. Bruise me, Yah. Did he bruise Yeshua? Did he bruise Hamashiach? Did he please him? Please yourself in bruising me. Whip my backside. That's the how Granny would say, I will whip your black. That's the way she would say it. And she would tell you to drop it because that part is probably blacker than any part on you. Although it doesn't see sun. And she would whip the roach out of it. Hallelujah. I don't care what the English vernacular, I'm not a linguistic. I don't care to be a linguistic. I'm talking common talk. Because we're common people. Making it plain. Hallelujah. Making it plain. Oh, I know Mr. Osteen down there, this little grinning devil is not going to talk like that because he lives by the wicked suppression of the people and will cause them to do anything to get money. No, I want to move to Gilead 18:3. I want to reinsert that again. Then I want to take us a little farther today. There's so much to this. I know that I want to finish it today, but I want to take us into a greater depth. Is that all right? So bear with me. Refresh yourself. Allow the word of Yah to refresh you. Hallelujah. It says here in Gilead, Revelation 18:3. We know who this drunken Jezebel is, this whore. We know that all nations have drunk. Yah, he says they have drunk. Or they have received into themselves the strength of their nephesh to continue the path. And so nations must receive the strength. They must receive from this nation. They must accept her monies, her systems. They must receive that. And so this drunkenness represents the strength of what? Can you ever seen a drunk man rise up in their folly? They think they can whip everybody. They think they're stronger than everyone. I had a brother, he's deceased. He was about 135 pounds. I was strong as a bull. I was strong as a bull. A big bull. Fit as a fiddle. And he will look at me sometimes and he will say, quote, big bastard, I will knock you out. He was like that. See, little man, you cannot handle me. Of course, that was his drunkenness speaking to him, so he would have strength. He said, big bastard, he said, I will take you out. And I say, little man, you're too little, you can't handle me. I know you're the big brother, but I'm the baby big brother. And so what I would do, I would say, I would grab him. I would say, little man, now what you going to do? You can't even budge. What are you going to do, little man? But it was his drunkenness that invigorated him to believe that he actually could challenge me. Of course, I wouldn't have hit him for nothing. Because he could not, he was pitiful. He was a drunken thing. He was a drunk. He was a legitimate drunkard. He was a legitimate drunkard. I would grab him and pick him up. I'd say, now get loose, little man. And even doing that, he would begin to sweat. Perspiration. As I know you're the big brother, but I'm the little big brother, all right? Don't forget that. Put me down. I say, you got to get down. I'm not letting you go because you're going to do me harm. Get away from me. Well, he could not. But it's drunkenness. And that's what the drunkenness of Babel, it gives you strength to speak what's, I will speak what's on my mind. And that's what this Babel whore has taught us. That's what she has taught us. We speak what on our mind, and our minds are not minds that generate total life. They're minds that generate folly and stupidity and frivolity and things that are not even conducive for any growth at all. They don't help us one bit at all. So he said, I saw this, I saw those. I saw those, all the nations, not some, but called every nation was drunk. They received their strength of the wine of the wrath. And that's the fiery indignation of Yah, his wrath. That wine is his fiery indignation for fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now this is what I want to express even in a deeper depth today. It is the Rakal, the merchants. The Rakal or the merchants of the earth, they wax rich through the abundance of her matam, through the abundance of her savory food. As I said to us last night, did not Esau, that represents the Edomites, and represents this rebellious spirit against Yah, did he not sell his birthright for the savory delicacies? Did he not sell his birthright for the savory delicacies? Are we not selling our birthright for the savory delicacies of Babel? We love her morals, we love her ways, we love her dress, we love her attitude, we love her personality, we love fashioning ourselves after her. We daughters of Tizania, you daughters, you fashion yourself after the images of the daughters that came before you. Not that these hoes, these are hoes, Yisrael. And so the nations have eaten her savory, her delicate meat. The merchants are the Rakal, the merchants. And the Rakal, the merchants. And the truest sense of its Hebraic, and even as it generates down to the Aramaic or the Arabic phrase, Rakal is one that their practices are questionable because they're deceitful workers, and that's what the merchants are. But she has made the nations rich through her merchandising, through the robbing, through the violent practices that she has perpetrated, and she is violent. How do I know she's violent? Brothers and sisters, you that are listening by the live stream, you look at the cities, are they not violent? You look at the television, the children see more violent acts on the television. It is something like 100 million over their lifetime because they spend 8-9 hours a day watching it. Even whether it's cartoons, I don't care whether it's games, I don't care what it is, there's nothing but violence. I don't care if it's basketball, one of the most violent sports that is perpetrated unto mankind in the arenas of Shaitan and the events of these tremendous gladiator events. It is called foosball or football. Ball, or they are fools that play it. And they do devastation on each other that they're crippled for the rest of their lives. They can't walk. They're arthritic by the time they're 26 or 28. Because this is the appetite of a Babel. And that was the pleasure of the kings of Babel to come to the arenas to put them in the lion's den or battle one another. But there was only one, and his name was Samuel. When Yah put him there, he was able than Yah to overcome this practice of the kings of the land, this joyful practice. And so that's what they've done to us. We're in the lion's den, brothers and sisters, whether you believe that or not. We're in the lion's den. And we're going to need the sword of the rock to come out of this hellish den. That's the only thing that's going to bring us out. We must have the word of Yah in us, Israel. You're not coming out. We're so embedded in that den that we get fearful. I show you the power of that. Bill collectors call folks, they're afraid, they're losing their homes, they're afraid to lose their jobs. Isn't that what a lion does? I mean, there are very few animals I like, but I like the lion. I like the lion. The lioness, she's a beautiful stealth bomber, and she is meant to kill. And she will bring down a wildebeest, but it takes the lion to get the job done. It does, Israel. And yet we're in this lion's den. fear all around us. We know they're going to kill us. How do we get out of this? The walls are too high. There's nothing you can grab on. This economy, you're not going to come out of this with your $2,000 or $3,000 in the bank. That's, come on. Let me show you something. Can I stop there for a moment? That's why I tell you all, you all think I just be talking, but I know what I'm saying. Well, Pastor Roberts, we have a checking account, and we just put enough in there to cover the bills, too. You understand? They rob the people. I want to show you something. I want to read this to you all. I will get into the depths of what I want to show you. I want you to hear this. Hallelujah. Quote, this is from USA Today. We get a USA Today here, do we not? We like the entertainment section. This is what it says. You all can sit here with your hypocrisy. We like the comics, not the commentaries. We like the funny stuff. It says this. FDIC study criticized how banks overcharge fees. Now, I want to show you how the banks and the wealthy of the world are getting rich. We are stupid people. We put our monies to the usury of Yah. I want to show you something here. It says, overdraft fees are boosting banks' profits at the expense of consumers, especially young. Do you understand that? Young. But then it identified those that are young. It says it this way because it does not want to create some kind of retribution. Young, but identifies those that are young. Low income. Do you hear that? The low income. The low income people. Those that are low income people. Find a new Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation study. Listen, Israel. The 18-month survey found that most banks automatically enroll consumers in an overdraft program. Some don't allow them to opt out. There's nothing you can do. This is your money now. And we think having a little bank account and putting our money to the entrusted hand of these wicked dogs, and then cover overdraft transactions for a per item fee up to $38. I read that to show us how much money the banks are making off the poor. Listen. Israel, bank surveyed earned $1.97 billion. That is $1,970,000. $700,000. $1.97 billion. That's what they earned. Listen, an overdraft related fees only in 2006. Now look what this represents. It's not the investments that are making money. Representing 74% of their overall $2.66 billion in service charge on deposit accounts. That is wicked. On the backs of the poor and low income and people that minds are dysfunctional. That's what this whore does. In total overdraft related fees bring in $17.5 billion each year to banks, credit union, estimated advocate group, center of responsible lending. Young and low income consumers are disproportionately affected by the overdraft fee because they're living from hand to mouth, from paycheck to no paycheck. The most vulnerable consumer are getting hit with these fees, says Chichi Waugh out of the National Consumers Law Centers. Now, I read that for preface. To understand this bevel, why this system is the way she is. For Yah speaks a Torah unto the stranger, unto Israel. And when even a stranger obey, it brings about the reciprocity and the healing health of Almighty Yahweh. Because when Yah speaks a word, it heals. I don't care if it's a jackass. Those that Yeshua heal, they were not serving Yah. They were not serving Yah Israel. He was the word of Yah, was he not? Did he go forth out of the bosom of Yah? Did he heal? And that's what the word of Yah does. It heals. Just the word of Yah heals. You recall in our days, oh, granny, she may be sick or someone's sick. They didn't know anything. But they will get the book and they will open it up and began to read. Would they not? Come on, Israel. You that in my age, you all know that. I was talking to a young man. We went up yesterday, Brother Allen and I, to pay the man and took it to the man up the street up here because we need wood to do things around here. And that was a young man. He was a very regal, tall young man. He was about tall as Deacon Hoyne, 6'5". He was tall. Very distinguished looking young man. Of course, people like that, I began to engage in dialogue with him. And he was working hard. And they had a woman out there. She looked like she weighed 275 pounds. She's a big gal. She's big. But she was working. And I said, she's moving pretty fast. They said, she moved like that all the time. And I just sat there and I studied the woman because you could tell she had babies. That was the only job she could get, uneducated in the sense that I could just look at her. So I began to talk with the man about it. He said, I'm telling you, preacher, that woman works like that. She worked. He said, you see this? She cleaned up all this. And I'm looking at what she's working on. He says, she's going to have that done this evening. I said, nah. I said, No, she's not. He said, yeah. He says, I don't mess with her. Leave her alone. And she will take care of business. I'm saying that to say this because the young man and I, we were talking. He says to me, because he has stepped on a nail, I say, man, ooh. My parents, he said, my granddad and my daddy, they always shun doctors. He was about 24 years, 25. He said, you see this right here? He said, I was on a four-wheeler, ran across some barbed wire fence. He said, my daddy, they just went there and got some stuff, and they worked on that, and it's all right. Now, that's the way it was. They would pull out the scripture. They would read, even though, and you would be there lying sick of the child, and all of a sudden, everything began to change. Yes, it was so. It began to change. They would sit there and just read. No, they didn't have no Alexander Scorby reading. Granny or mama, someone would sit there and read from that book. They would sit there all night long. And in the midst of saying that, they would open up the book and read. That's how they would do it. So Yahweh sends forth his words. The word of Yah heals. That's just the power of his word. I don't care if you're a drunkard or a wicked one. The word of Yah will heal. It heals. Who one just hears it, it heals. Woo! That's the truth, Israel. Not this Babylonian image that we've been, this Babel concept we've been taught. The word heal. What do you say before? They just heal, period. It just heals, Israel. When you obey, it just heals. I don't care who you are. So there's the Torah that he gives unto his people. He gives it unto the nations of the world. We are the representatives of his Torah power and the healing power of the Torah of Yah. And so the nations, they see that and they say, let me inquire that. And they ask you for a reason of this great desire, this great walk that you have in complicity to this book or this knowledge you possess. Because they see your healing, they see your strength. And so that's what Yah has given unto Israel, that it will be the pattern unto the world. And because she has given herself over unto Babel, there's no strength and the power of Yah. And so this power of Babel, this spirit of harlots and abomination, and every kind of unclean thing, every kind of cage and uncage, every vile spirit permeates today in the world. It's all in the hands of Yah. That's the only security we have, Yisrael. And the prophet Yeskel, he speaks of this as to why we see this tremendous birth of dearth and death in Babel. And why these things are coming to pass. And he speaks on this with great eloquence in Ezekiel 18 verse 1. He says this. He says, under the bar, the word of Yah came to me again, saying, now this is the profound power and the infusion of the word of Yah that burns in his mind as it speaks unto him, as it speaks by revelation, by understanding, and by direction. The word of Yah speaks unto him. He said, it came unto me, saying, he said in the Yeskel, Ezekiel 18:2, he says to Yeskel, what do you mean when you use this Mishli, this proverb, concerning the land of Israel? Do you understand that? Now, this proverb is concerning Israelites, the land of his people. What does this mean? You got to give us understanding. What does this mean that Yochanan speaks? Is this something that is void of the prophets? Did they not see that? Yes, they saw it. If there's one that saw the very destruction of Babel, it was Yeremiah. It's all in the book. And the reason we don't understand, brothers and sisters, that's not, it is to belittle you that you would destroy your flesh. Because we just don't have this affection for Yah. We just don't have this affection out of the word. Come on. You know your favorite meal, don't you? All right then. That make you smile, doesn't it? Come on, Israel. You know your favorite meal? You know what you like? You have that, doesn't it make you smile? You go out work all day knowing that you're going to have your favorite stuff when you get home. Come on, make you come. You're a little slower when you get there, too. You make sure your hands are washed. You sit down. You take your time. You want to savor this. I know I have. Maybe I'm the only one then. Okay. Hallelujah. But this is not the favor of our palate here. So what means this Mishli, this proverb concerning Israel? What does this imply? What does this imply? Israel saying the Avat have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are blunt. What does this imply, Yah? Yah says, as I live, says Almighty the Sovereign, Yah, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. He said, I want to show you something, Yeskel. You will never have the occasion to use this again among the Israelites. For there's a reason. If you obey what I'm about to say, then you're going to see the prosperity, the blessings, the healing power, the strength of Yah. That's through the nation. If you do this, the nation shall see you, and they will call you blessed. And if you disobey, then woe unto you. Look what he says now in verse 4. Behold, some of the nephesh of the souls. Does he mean that? Do you all hear that, Israel? All souls are mine. Is that y'all talking? Now there's a reason I want you to understand, and why I'm emphasizing this. That's the purpose. Because it will bring us in direct understanding as to what Babel has done to incur this wickedness that permeates in the land. Listen, Israel. He say, as the soul of the Avat, also the nephesh of the son is mine. He said, even the nephesh, the one, the soul that sins, it shall die. Do you all hear that? We know what sin is. It has not changed. Sin is when one defies the Musa, the instructions, the Torah, Torah of life, the instructions of life that Yah gives unto Israel and the nations. Israel is, in essence, they are a Moshe, they are Yahushua, they are lawgiver. They are the Torah light unto the nations of the world. So the nations may see the power of Yah upon a people that were not a people, but they have a strength that is constituted in the power, the obedience unto the Torah of Almighty Yah. That's what he has done. You understand? So the soul or the nephesh of sin shall die. But he says here in verse 5, listen, Israel, but if a man is shadik, he has the righteous Torah, righteous attitude of Yah. If a man is righteous, Sadiq, and does that which is according to what? Come on, according to what? To what? Why are you all so afraid? Come on. Torah, my brother. You all get together and follow. You talk louder than that. You see a cell. Come over here. Says, woo, come, let's go. Whoa. Before everybody get there. They made more than one of that. Come on, brothers and sisters. He said they must do according. What it says in your translation there? Which is lawful. Well, what is lawful then? What is lawful? Torah. Do all according to the Torah. Because that's the only lawful thing. that they must do all according to the Torah, according to the Torah and right. But if a man is Sudik and does that which is according to the Torah and right, he will do this. Listen now, he will not, if a man has not, verse 6, has eaten upon the mountain. What is that, preacher? Those that gravitate to their high places and they offer their offering sacrifice unto Shaitan, the demon, Shadims. And that's what we do. We get on our mountains, don't we? We get in our high-mindedness. We get high-minded. We don't want nobody telling us nothing. We get, as Granny would say, beside ourselves. And that's what the high mountain is. You get up on your high horse. You remember that mother they would say to honey, get off that high horse now. They would say things but had relevance unto truth. They were Mishli, they were proverbs, they were words that were spoken, but they had meanings to them. So he says, you got to come out of your high mountain. And we eat the food of our own corrupt minds. We eat the same, we regurgitate and eat it over and over again. It's almost like a busybody or a tattletale or one that is gossiping about everyone's affairs but theirs. They rehearse the same thing over again, don't they? Something happened 6 months ago, they're still talking about it. What a wicked child of hell. So you got to come out of the mountain. And the mountain is where they made their altars in the high places, did they not? Come on, where's the high place of us? It's our own minds, our own love. We like to blame someone else, but this has come by our own rebelliousness against Yah. And because we will not hear, and we have ear to hear, let us hear what the Ruach speaks unto Yisrael. He said, neither have lifted up his eyes to the idols of Beit Yisrael. Well, you mean idols? In Beit, the house of Yisrael, we have brought idols from Babel. We have brought mama's ways and daddy's ways. I find some of the most disgusting people that think that they know Yah. They've incorporated their damnable wicked practices from Pentecostalism, wickedism, rebellionism, and try to bring it into the way of Yah. We must be get out the door, and the door is the Torah. When Yah opened the Torah unto Moshe, he showed him the power of the Torah. When Israel disobeyed, they were brought down. So it begins in the pinnacle of our minds. Hallelujah. And casting down the idols that you, Israel, you have esteemed. You have esteemed Israel. You made the idols. There are folks that spend more time their thoughts on things that are wicked than they are. Sadiq. Come on. It is among Israel. Evangel Hartsfield would say to me, Brother Roberts, whatever you see in the natural, you know that there's a tremendous breakdown in the spiritual. I still love the man. Because there were so many things that were full of truth. He didn't even know. I don't think at his age he knew what I know today. But he laid foundations in this man. And it came by my submissiveness and obedience unto him. I didn't fight him. I didn't fight him. I didn't fight against him. I was a humble young man that he had confidence in. He could trust. Whether it was $5 or $5,000. He could trust. Because he knew I would not do him wrong. Hallelujah. He said, neither have you defiled your neighbor's wife. Now this is what many of those that speak in ignorance, they need to understand this. Neither has come near a Nadar woman. So there are those that tell the sisters they come in the house of Yah during the spirit of time. They're Nadar. And yet they go out every day. It did not say a daughter to Zion, right? It says, come near a Nadar. Does it say that? I know what it says there, minister. But Nadar, a woman. And we can't come near this Nadar. This woman is hemorrhaging. America is hemorrhaging. Blood is pure out.